Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Fantasy Nerd Work, the ultimate spot for dynasty insights, rookie scoutings, and deep dives that are sure to win you your fantasy championship this coming season. I'm your host, Ethan King, and today we are talking about probably the most polarizing player in all of fantasy football right now, not named Ashton Jeanty. And of course, we are talking about Travis Hunter, the two-way sensation who I certainly believe, and I think a lot of other people certainly believe, could be an absolute IDP winner, league winner in IDP formats. If you play in IDP leagues like myself, this episode is certainly for you. And if you don't, well, now might be the time to start because IDP leagues are incredible. Now, let's start with the basics, right? What is an IDP league for those who don't know? Individual defensive player format. Standard leagues, you play a full team's defense and special teams. And these formats, sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. In my personal experience playing in an IDP league, we don't play with team defenses. We do three IDP slots. Now, there's a couple ways that you can go about this. The most standard way that I see people playing in IDP leagues is X amount of IDP players. For us, for my league, for example, it's three. They do basically IDP flex spots, and you kind of just run it that way. Those are fun. The only problem with that is that we found, which is why we have switched the rules in our league, is you can just kind of cheese the system with linebackers because people who stack up a ton of tackles tend to get a ton of points. So in our league, the way that I typically recommend doing an IDP league is having three IDP slots, one for every position, that you can play one DB, one D lineman, and one linebacker. So now that we've covered the IDP leagues, Travis Hunter, in Sleeper, the best place to play fantasy football, he is listed at both a wide receiver and cornerback. I actually got the luxury of drafting him onto my team, and I have him currently slotted in at the cornerback slot. He gets points for both sides of the ball, no matter where you line him up at. So it's basically like I'm getting a free receiver without having to use either of my two receiver slots or my flex spots. The name Travis Hunter, I mean, we all know him at this point. Sensational at Colorado. He won the best receiver award, the best DB award, and he won the Heisman. Played over 100 snaps in multiple games, lined up as Colorado's wide receiver 1 and CB1. But, I mean, he just excelled on defense. He an incredible receiver, over 1,200 yards last season at Colorado. But his long, fluid frame mixed with elite ball skills that come with playing receiver as a wide receiver 1, it makes him one of the, not even the most intriguing receiver prospects, but also the most intriguing corner prospects that we've seen in a long time. Now, with an IDP league, you're looking for three main things. You're looking for players who are going to play a high snap percentage. You're looking for playmaking upside, and you're looking for schemes that fit a player's certain needs. And what I mean by schemes, I mean, look at Nick Cross, last year's safety for the Indianapolis Colts. One of, if not the best DBs in fantasy football last year, because of the scheme in Indianapolis, allowed him to fill the gaps underneath and rack up tackles. And tackles are the most efficient way to get points out of an IDP slot. Travis Hunter, obviously, we know he can handle a high snap count. I am a part of the club that does not think that he'll be able to handle that same level of snap count in the NFL, but he's going to be handling a high snap count. He checks all the boxes, seriously. He gets the high snap count. He has incredible, incredible playmaking upside. I mean, just look at what he does on both sides of the ball. I very, 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 very clearly see there being a game this upcoming season. I can see the Bleacher Report headline right now where Travis Hunter now catches a touchdown and a pick six in the same game. And I think Liam Cohen is going to work him into this scheme. You know, seamlessly. Travis said that he wasn't going to play if he didn't get to play both sides of the ball, and Liam Cohen seems extremely willing to make it happen that he will get to play on both sides of the ball. He started his role on offense first at the start of OTAs, and he has begun transitioning into a defensive role, learning both the offensive and the defensive playbook. The biggest thing with Travis, though, like I said earlier, is the elite ball skills. Accuracy isn't necessarily an issue when it comes to throwing to a guy like Travis Hunter because of the way he contorts himself to a ball. Now put a guy like that on defense, you know. They say that every corner would play wide receiver if they had better hands. Travis has some of the best hands we've seen, and he plays both corner and wide receiver. Travis was drafted. Obviously, a Jaguars traded up to the second overall pick, so they believe him. They believe in him to a heavy extent because they traded some serious draft capital to get him. And they made it very clear, like I said, that they will tend to him on both sides of the ball. I do think that he'll be more than a gadget player on offense. So much more than a gadget player, like people seem to kind of just assume he's going to be. And when I say gadget player, I mean, you know, one of those guys that you throw in for a third and long, a fourth and short, a kick returning. He is going to play significant snaps on the offensive side of the ball. And in that receiver room in Jacksonville, he has a chance of leading all rookies in receptions, yards. I know that Brian Thomas Jr. is there, and he looked incredible last year. But Brian Thomas Jr., I think one thing a lot of people aren't really considering is that he is great. He is really, really good, but he's going to be getting a lot of focus from defense put onto him in this upcoming season. And I think that's just going to make Travis Hunter even more of a reliable option for Trevor Lawrence. He is going to put up points, whether it's pick sixes, fumble recoveries, fumbles, block kicks, tackles, tackle for loss, sack, anything that you can think of that he can record on defense is just extra points to compared to if he was only playing the receiver. Let me paint a picture for you. Let's say and this is full PPR. Let's say he gets 5 catches for 50 yards and a touchdown. Right? You're looking at 16 points right there. Now, for a rookie wide receiver, if he puts up 16 points per game, I think we're all relatively happy owners. But now you add in the fact that in an IDP format, it counts as stats for both sides of the ball. Now, the scoring for your IDP league may be different. IDP league scoring is one of those things that it's basically just, it is a per league thing. There isn't really a set standard for IDP. For my league, how we do it is you essentially get at minimum 0.75 points per tackle, or you get at maximum 1.5 points per tackle. And that's significant points. And for DBs, it is a little bit different, obviously, because DBs are typically probably only getting in that 3 to 6 tackle range. 0.5 points per tackle, and then you get an added bonus on for the kind of tackle that it was. So 0.5 points no matter what. You get an additional 0.25 points if it was an assisted tackle, but an entire point added on if it is a solo tackle. So with that thinking in mind, right? Now let's go back to it. 5 catches, 50 yards, a touchdown. We're looking at 16 points right there. If he just gets 2 solo tackles, okay, well, now we're at 19 points. If he gets 4 solo tackles, we're looking at, 22 points. It compounds very quickly. Our league does a bonus for tackle bonuses because tackles, being a high tackler is a volume thing. You want those guys on your team. So if you get a 10-plus tackle, if you get 10 or more tackles, you get a 5-plus bonus, right? So let's say he does get 10 tackles. what is that? Let me do the math on my phone real quick before I just completely butcher it. So, if he gets 10 solo tackles, which for a DB is, and I just want to preface that, keep it optimistic on this number. It's more of just a metric that I'm using to explain the value of an IDP slot. 10 solo tackles at 1.5 points per tackle, you're looking at 15 points. Now, for it being 10 tackles, you're looking at a 5-point bonus, plus the 16 points he already got from 5 catches, 50 yards, and a touchdown. It's a lot of hypotheticals. Like I said, he'll never really get to 10 tackles. He may do it once or twice. Who knows? That's 36 points right there, though. And that won't be something that he always does. And like I said, your IDP scoring may be different. But it's just, no matter how different your IDP scoring is from ours, you just look at how quickly it jumped from 16 points to 36 points. That is league-winning material. Significant league-winning material. And then you also have the other things. Points for passes defended. You get points for an interception. Points for defensive touchdowns. Points for a fumble recovery. Forcing a fumble. Sacks if they use him inside of some sort of blitz package. He's currently projected in a nickel DB slot, which is in that 4-6 tackle range, as I said earlier. So you're looking at an extra 6 points a week on top of whatever he does in the receiving game, minimum. Add in maybe a projected 1-2 pass breakups a game. And I'm looking at Travis Hunter and I'm thinking in the 2-6 range on interceptions. Moving from college to the NFL is certainly a challenge, and that's something that he's going to have to adjust to. But like we said earlier, the elite ball skills, there are so many points for Travis Hunter that are going to be able to go on the board. I doubt they use him in kick return packages, so I'm not going to count any value there. But in my personal league, we do count punt and kick return yardage. So, you know, I highly, highly, highly doubt that the Jaguars use him in a return role. If they do, that's just even more points. That's three different avenues of points that he is receiving. You can look at some of the very big name DBs drafted in the last couple of years and then compare their fantasy stats in a way. But we've never really seen a player like Travis Hunter. I mean, you look at a guy like Sauce Gardner, who isn't necessarily a fantasy asset because he is a shutdown corner, but he lacks interception production, and he lacks tackle production because teams tend to not throw the ball his way as much. Tariq Woolen is one of those guys drafted in the same draft class as Sauce Gardner, who is just, he's right up there in elite cornerback play, but he benefits from having Devon Witherspoon on the other side of him. Tariq Woolen he's a big play monster on defense, had 6 interceptions, and his IDP relevance is incredible just because of his tackle ability. Even better, though, I as far as defensive backs are concerned, Kyle Hamilton is probably if they play Travis Hunter in a nickel role, I would assume defensive numbers similar into the Kyle Hamilton range, around that 8 to 12 points per game on defense range. Just extremely versatile and creative. He generates a significant tackle volume and splash plays, and he's a ball hawk. And I think those are all things that Travis Hunter has the ability to do at the next level. In IDP leagues, being versatile is the number one thing you can do. One of the best DBs that I personally have in my IDP league, or I'm sorry, D lineman, but one of my best defensive players until I added on Travis Hunter to my squad was Broncos linebacker Nick Benito. Had an incredible, incredible 2024 season, and I think he's going to be an incredible, incredible asset for the Broncos and for my fantasy team in 2025, because not only does Nick Benito line up at linebacker, he also lines up at D lineman. So I'm able to play him in both of those spots pretty interchangeably, and it just makes it a lot easier for roster construction. So let us talk about Travis Hunter's dynasty outlook. If you play in an IDP league, I mean, I want to talk about his price, obviously. But if you play in an IDP league, he's pretty much, at right now, since knowing nothing and just knowing the potential production that we may get out of Travis Hunter, you're looking at a pretty much slim to none chance to trade for him in most any league. I mean, you would have to give up a significant amount. According to Sleeper's 2025 projections, and obviously projections mean nothing. They literally mean nothing. However, in all skill positions projections, so just at anything not counting quarterback, Travis Hunter is projected the second most points in all of fantasy for non-quarterback positions at 308.4 points per game as a rookie. Not per game, sorry, for the season. Who is that on par with? There may be a name in your head, and it's the only guy projected more total fantasy points than Travis Hunter. Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase is projected at 315 this season. Obviously, went over 410 this past season, Triple Crown. But Ja'Marr Chase's rookie year, playing only wide receiver, had, you guessed it right, 308 fantasy points. I think that 308 is a number that, if the expectations match with his play, we are looking, like I said, at a league-breaking player, and 308 could be a low number for a guy like Travis Hunter, depending on your defensive league scoring. Now, in redraft IDP leagues, you'll more than likely be able to grab him, I would say, late second, early third, because people are going to see the name and they're going to see the IDP format and they're going to take a swing. But I don't think his value is quite in that mid to late first range. I could see a team taking a swing on him in the mid second. However, if you are in dynasty IDP leagues and you are drafting out of the rookie drafts, you better have one of the first two picks. I will say, in my IDP league, we drafted before he actually got the tag of cornerback on his player card. So when I drafted him, he was only listed as a wide receiver, but I drafted him taking the swing that he would actually get the CB designation. Obviously, he did end up getting it. I could have drafted him at the 106. I traded up to be safe and took him at the 103, and I got laughed at because I traded 106 and Jerry Jeudy for 103 and Isaiah Likely, and then everyone was saying nobody was going to take him. So I might have sold a little bit on getting rid of my Jerry Jeudy stock a little earlier than I should have. Regardless, though, now that he has the DB designation and we know that he's probably going to carry that into the season and beyond, the only real chance that he has to lose it is if, you know, major injury is suffered and then they say, okay, you're now a full-time DB, which is the worst case scenario for fantasy managers, obviously. I would try and trade for him early as best strategy to go with. I mean, he is a guy that's only going to get more and more valuable as OTAs wrap up, as mandatory mini camps start, as mandatory training camp starts, as we get into the preseason. The more your league mates who own Travis Hunter watch him practice and see the news that come out about him, the more expensive he is going to get. He is at his cheapest right now. Unless he busts. If he busts, then you know what? Maybe there's a chance that you can get him for cheap. But we just don't see. All the metrics and all of the data is just telling us that this guy is going to be an elite fantasy aspect. My biggest advice with Travis Hunter, as while yes, I do think that he is going to be an IDP league breaker, not even league winner, league breaker, is be patient with Travis Hunter overall. He may start slow. He may not play as many snaps in, you know, the first eight games of his career while he's still learning both playbooks, while he's figuring out which role he'd rather be in full-time. I know he says that he wants to be full-time on both sides, but we've got to be realistic about the logistics of playing both sides of the ball at full times. It's not going to happen. If I'm Travis Hunter, I'm picking wide receiver because I get paid more. But it's neither here nor there. I 100% think that it's just, it is a waiting game at this point with Travis Hunter. We've got a ticking nuclear time bomb just sitting in the back pocket of fantasy owners around the country. And he will explode sooner rather than later. Once he hits, he's going to hit big. If he ends up busting, he may still be just a solid, productive corner. And in your IDP leagues, good, productive corners are great to have. They are incredible assets because they are very few and far between in the DB slot. There are, I would say, roughly probably 6 to 8 very, very relative in production DBs, but nobody that projects to be as productive as Travis Hunter as far as fantasy production is concerned. So, what I'm getting at, right? Travis Hunter is more than just like a trophy. He's more than just a cool story that is, you know, looked at and saying, hey, here's this shiny new toy who plays wide receiver in DB. He's not just like a novelty act in the two-way department. He is realistically going to be a cheat code in pretty much any and every IDP format. He has a guaranteed starting role on day one. The most dynamic upside of probably any rookie in this class out that's not named Ashton Jeanty. And the ball skills are just something that you look at a lot of receivers coming into the league. You look at a lot of DBs coming into the league. And they all have great athleticism. Most of them have great hands. Not talking to you, Quentin Johnston. But the one thing that they have to work on is the mental aspect of playing wide receiver or cornerback in the NFL. The ball skills, the difference in pace and keeping up with NFL receivers or breaking away from NFL corners. It's different than it was in college. But Travis Hunter also has a one-of-one mindset that he shows during OTAs right now. He showed it at Jack State. He showed it at Colorado. This is going to be one of the most frustrating players in all of fantasy football. He's positioned to be one of the best players in an IDP format for fantasy football next year. And an unforeseen number of years to come. Do not sleep on the upside that Travis Hunter has. Do not wait and try and get him. If he falls to you anywhere at 105 or beyond, take him and do not even think about it. Stash him, start him, sit him. I don't care what you do, but make sure you have him on your team and get carried to a fantasy football championship this season. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Fantasy Nerd Work. If you enjoyed this breakdown, do not forget to subscribe or follow the podcast on whatever audio service you are listening to. That is going to be a thank you to YouTube Podcast, Amazon, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, among very many other services. Leave a review, follow the show. It would really, really help, and I would really, really appreciate it. And share the show to your league mates, man. There's nothing worse than having fantasy league mates who aren't knowledgeable. I know you want to have the upper hand, but I want to have an audience. And you will have a better and more enjoyable fantasy experience if your fantasy league mates are as up-to-date on the currents as you. Or don't. I mean, if you want to keep Hunter a secret, or any of the other players I'm going to break down a secret. Not that you can really keep Travis Hunter a secret, but that's neither here nor there. I appreciate it. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fantasy Nerd Work, and I will see you in the next episode.